How is the Lutheran teaching about the Lord's Supper distinct from other Christian confessions? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March is Lutheranism 101, The Lord's Supper. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase Lutheranism 101, The Lord's Supper by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Lutheranism 101, The Lord's Supper, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March.
For days, pilgrims have been gathering from every corner of India and arriving by every conceivable mode of transport. All drawn by their shared devotion to an ancient religion. They come here to purify themselves by bathing in the cold water of the Ganges, the river that nurtured India's 5,000-year-old civilization. Om Kumar is a wheat farmer from central India who told us he walked 300 miles to get here.
Why did you come from so far away to the Kumbh Mela?
He made the journey, he said, because the water has special power.
For Hindus, the Ganges is a sacred river, and they believe that bathing here during the Kumbh Mela will wash away their sins.
The pilgrims have set up camp in a sprawling sea of tents that can accommodate tens of millions. It's a pop-up megacity, complete with banks, its own police force, and traffic jams. Leading the crowds are the sadhus, who have renounced all material possessions to devote themselves to a spiritual life. One of them is Mahant Ravindranan Saraswati, who helped explain Hindu beliefs, including reincarnation.
Death to start life. This is true. Understand?
Most of the pilgrims make do with basic conditions. But for a wealthy few, there's this luxury tented camp, where one of the guests is the Maharani Radhika Rajay Gaikwad, an Indian princess who normally lives in a palace.
Well, there's something that binds you all together, that faith in the Ganges, in the Kumbh, in your gods, as many as they are. Yeah, we are one.
A ritual that's been celebrated by Hindus for thousands of years in a country of stunning contrasts, still has the power to draw the faithful.
All right, that's a story from CBS News about a Hindu pilgrimage that occurs every 12 years, something happening right now. Why do Hindus gather at the Ganges River? What do they believe? What benefit do they believe they derive from washing in that river? Joining us to talk about the Hindu pilgrimage to the Ganges, Pastor Stanis Standley. He's pastor in the India Evangelical Lutheran Church, a PhD candidate at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. Pastor Standley, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you so much. I'm really privileged to be here with you. Thank you so much.
What do Hindus believe, basically, that brings them in the hundreds of thousands to the Ganges for these pilgrimages?
In fact, the Hindu understanding of life is that life is a cycle. You know, it's the samsara. You will, because of your sins that you commit, because of the bad things that you do to your do in life, what happens is your soul gets corrupted, and as a result, you enter into a cycle of birth and rebirth, which is basically leading you down the path of destruction. So in order to get out of that cycle, which is the ultimate aim of Hinduism, the moksha, so to speak, the liberation, so to speak, you've got to purify yourself, or rather, to simply put it, your soul has to get out of this cycle of birth and rebirth and join with the ultimate reality or the ultimate Godhead, which is Brahman, the impersonal Brahman, the impersonal Godhead. So over here, what's happening is with the Kumbh Mela, it is one way of interpreting and understanding that by getting into this river, which is which could be the Ganga River, it could be a river at Nasik. In fact, what's happening with the Kumbh Mela is that there are four places where the Kumbh takes place, and every 4 years, it kind of alternates from place to place. And as a result, if you kind of get into this Kumbh Mela thing, and if you dip and take that holy dip in this river, your sins will be forgiven, or rather, you will be purified, to put it more precisely. So your sins are all washed away, you are purified, and now you are completely new.
We'll take a break, and when we come back, I wonder, does that mean then that someone doesn't need to return to the Ganges or one of these rivers for this ritual purification, this dipping in the river? We're talking about a Hindu pilgrimage to the Ganges River. It's occurring right now. Pastor Stanis Stanley is our guest. I invite your questions and your comments on this Monday afternoon, March the 11th. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org. We get them right here in real time, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc. Another 10 minutes with Pastor Stanis Stanley, and then in hour two of Issues Etc., Jesus is Anointed. We'll be looking at Luke chapter 7, beginning at verse 36. Pastor Tom Baker of Law and Gospel will be our guest. Did you know that Logia, a journal of Lutheran theology, sells CDs and audio downloads of teachings by some of the top Lutheran theologians in the country? Check out Logia's 99-cent download of the month at shop.logia.org. Shop.logia.org. You'll also find books published by Luther Academy and, of course, the quarterly Logia Journal at shop.logia.org. Continuing education for the confessional Lutheran, shop.logia.org.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe that traditional Lutheran preaching, liturgy, and hymnody continue to deliver Christ crucified for sinners today. The Reformation attempted to return the Church's focus on what we do for God back to a focus on what God does for us, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. Some things never change. The gospel is still under attack from inside and outside the Church. To see how Lutheran doctrine and practice preserve the gospel, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Emmanuel Lutheran, Alexandria, Virginia. Bethel Lutheran, Ballinger, Texas. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Eola, Texas. Beautiful Savior Lutheran, Bridgeton, Missouri. Christ Our King Community Lutheran, Costa Mesa, California. Lord of Life Lutheran, Plano, Texas. Christ Lutheran, Platte Woods, Missouri. Hope Lutheran, Sonora, Texas. Faith Lutheran, Arizona, Texas. And Emmanuel Lutheran, Steger, Illinois. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Issuesetc.org. Click support. The Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about the Hindu pilgrimage to the Ganges and other rivers. Pastor Stanis Stanley is our guest pastor in the India Evangelical Lutheran Church. I noticed before the break when you were talking about the purpose of this ritual dipping in the river, you used at one time the term forgiveness, and then you just kind of switched it to purification.
Right.
For there to be forgiveness, there has to be a forgiver. At least that's our way of looking at it from the Christian perspective. Do the Hindus believe that the gods or a god forgives their sins?
Not really. No, I think I got it wrong because, as I said, you know, it's I'm a Christian pastor, and the word forgiveness kind of comes pretty naturally to me. But having said that, what I would say is that for Hindus over here, it is a question of purifying themselves, because we have to bear in mind that the Hindus are a very ritualistic community. It is not a faith community as such. More so, it is a ritualistic community. So you've got to purify yourself. Your soul has to be purified, and it has to be completely at the end of your life. Your soul has to reach that point where it is ready to go and join with the ultimate reality, which is so pure, so perfect. So in that sense, there is no forgiveness as such. It is more of a purification of yourself that is taking place. With reply to one of the questions that you kind of ended with, there is an ambiguity also over here, because if we were to ask the question that, hey, you went and you dipped yourself into the Ganga River or to the Godavari River in Nasik, which is another place where the Kumbh Mela can take place, what happens after that? Do you have to come back again next fourth year or the second after 2 years again for the other Mela, so that you've got to clean yourself up again? And that is not sufficiently answered. We also have to keep in mind that this has to the genesis of this entire Kumbh Mela thing comes from the story of the wars in the heavens between the different gods taking place, as a result of which, at one point, because of a curse, the gods lose their power. And when they lose their power, they go to the two godheads, that is God Brahma, Lord Brahma, and the Lord Shiva, to ask for help so that their powers can be restored. And they don't get it. And what the gods tell is, hey, go to the third god, which is God Vishnu. And he advises them that there is this ocean of milk which is there. You've got to churn it all over, and underneath lies the nectar of immortality. So what happens is, in order to get this nectar of immortality, there is a deal which is struck between the devas and their enemies, the asuras. And these guys come together, and once they churn the ocean and get the nectar of immortality, a fight ensues between both these groups. And in an incarnation of Vishnu, he comes in, and Vishnu takes this nectar in a kumbh, which is the pitcher which holds the nectar of immortality, and he runs away with it. And as he flies away, the nectar of immortality spills over in four places. And these are the four places, the Allahabad being one, Nasik being another, Ujjain being a third, and Haridwar being the fourth. So these are the places where this nectar of immortality, or this confluent, this river thing is available. And when the person goes and dips himself into these rivers, what is basically happening is you are getting the nectar, you're bathing in the nectar of immortality. And that is probably the understanding that, yes, you are purified and that you will be taken care of.
The goal here is, am I correct, really, to escape the, not just the mortality, mm-hmm. but to escape the physical. Is mm-hmm. that correct?
Yeah, that is very true, yeah. Because within Hinduism, your soul is kind of trapped in this body, which is full of, which is impure. And in one of the interpretations, it is basically understood as Maya. Everything around you is Maya. It's illusion. It is basically not real. So you've got to divest yourself out of this sinful body of yours, this bad body of yours, and the soul which is there within you has to be liberated. So you're right in saying that yes, it is more of a moving out of the body. It is body is definitely impure. Yeah.
Does the average Hindu believe that he actually achieves this, or does he believe he's simply working incrementally toward, at some time in the distant future, in a future lifetime, achieving this?
See, for the average Hindu, I've always lived in Mumbai, and my friends are Hindus, most of them at least. I have very few Christian friends. But yes, what I would say is that what I have seen in my lifetime is that Hindus are a very they are not hung up on high doctrines and high theology and all that kind of stuff. They are more practical kind of people, but they do realize and they do understand that the world is world has evil power as well as strong powers, strong force, and it is more of a way of negotiating yourself in this world. So in that sense, the ritualistic element of their belief, of their living out of life, is basically an attempt to take cognizance of the fact that there are troubles, there are evil spirits or evil forces at work in our life, which we have to appease, which we've got to kind of negotiate through. And that means that through rituals, you can do that. So astrology becomes an important part. Even this Kumbh Mela thing is very much connected with the positioning of the planets, the planet Jupiter and the Sun. The positioning of that planet is what decides the dates for the Kumbh Mela, you see. So it is more of a ritualistic way of understanding life and the world around you and negotiating everything around you through the performance of rituals. In that sense, they are pretty practical and practical people.
Could we call it superstition, Pastor mm-hmm. Stanley?
The frank fact of Indian life is that yes, Hindus were a very superstitious people. They even today are. And the fact of the matter is that Christian missions have played such an important role, especially British rule over India and the ensuing Christian mission work that took place, opened up a big channel of dialogue between Hinduism and Christianity. And as a consequence of that, what basically happened is the Hindus also benefited. They kind of reformed their own religious understandings, especially superstitions. Many of the superstitions were kind of discarded or have over time lost its efficacy and power because of its dialogue with Christianity, and especially its Western-educated elites who wanted to reform Hinduism so that the tradition of their forefathers, their traditional beliefs and religious beliefs could kind of withstand the onslaught of the West. So, yes, superstition is even there today. No doubt about that. You will always see that in India if you ever went by. But it has been kind of modified. It is ambiguous. That is what I would say.
Compare and contrast, if you would, Pastor Stanley, the Kumbh Mela with Christian baptism.
Mm-hmm. Well, a very very difficult one, but let me try. The Kumbh Mela, as I said, here it is a purification of yourself. The understanding is that you've been washed free of all the things that you did, and now you have immersed yourself in the sea of immortality, and you've bathed yourself with the nectar of life, and you are fine. But within a Christian setting, baptism is the coming into a community. It is that yes, you have been you have been accepted as a child of God. You are also now under His grace and under His vision that you are called to live. So it is not a purification in the sense that you will never again commit sin, but rather that yes, you are called to a life of repentance. As Martin Luther points it, baptism is basically the way you should understand it and believe and live it out is you daily live to you daily die to sin, and you daily rise to a new life through your baptismal waters. So over here, that particular big difference is to be seen, and there is a forgiveness of sins that comes along with it within a Christian understanding. Whereas that is definitely not there within the Hindu way of looking at it.
With only about a minute here, mm-hmm. how would you describe to us, at least very briefly, the state of confessional Lutheranism in India? About a minute.
Well, our church, basically the India Evangelical Lutheran Church, is a product of LCMS mission to India. The first mission of the LCMS was to India in 1895. I am a product of that, and basically our church church body has somewhere between 70,000 to 100,000 members. Confessionalism is pretty strong within our way of our church body, and for us theology and the way we practice our church setting carries a lot of importance and weight, of course. But as you know, Christianity within India is just 2.3%. It is just it's just a minor population, but it's more along lines of the ecumenical way of looking at the Christian tradition, which is stronger. But our church body carries its complete gratefulness to the LCMS for what they have done for us, and we are pretty happy being the church body which witnesses and confesses and believes in what Martin Luther has taught us the way of interpreting and living our church life out.
Pastor Stanis Stanley is a pastor in the India Evangelical Lutheran Church and a PhD candidate at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. Pastor Stanley, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you so much, sir. It was really a pleasure being with you. Thank you.
When we come back in hour two of Issues, Etc., we find Jesus in an odd place. He might at first seem to be an odd place, but Jesus is in the practice of eating and drinking with sinners, of dining with sinners. And so, should it surprise us at all that we find him in the house of Simon the Pharisee? Well, there he is in Luke chapter 7, in the Pharisee's house, and in comes a real sinner, at least in the eyes of the Pharisee, this woman, and she anoints Jesus. Why is Jesus anointed, and what's going on in Luke chapter 7? We'll answer those questions with Pastor Tom Baker in hour two of Issues, Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues, Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Hello, this is Pastor Kevin Golden of Village Lutheran Church in Ladue, Missouri. The saints at Village Lutheran are proud to be part of the Issues, Etc. 300, sharing in their Christ-centered, cross-focused proclamation of the gospel. If you find yourself in St. Louis, join us on Sundays at 8:15 and 10:45 for the Divine Service, 9:30 for Bible study and Sunday school, as we receive Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. Or visit us on the web at www.villagelutheranchurch.org.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the logo for the Issues Etc. Journal and Weekly Bulletin insert at issuesetc.org and sign up to receive the church bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues Etc. issuesetc.org, look for the Issues Etc. Journal logo, and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues Etc.